This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, we're going to be talking about a lot of great stuff, including Andre settling, having a wife. What was that all about? We'll break all that down and all that and more. Sure, we'll do that all next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey everybody. Sunday night means it's GH Report time.
Yes, sir. Right all here. Night long.
That's right. Right here on AfterBuzz TV, of course, Carla and I will be breaking down all the latest happenings in Port Charles. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And I'm Carla Renata. You can follow me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic.
Now, of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and feel free to hop in the chat and share your thoughts about anything GH related, whether it be something that happened this past week or just some general thoughts you have about the show. But before we get going on, though, yes. Boy, soap fans, we have an exciting opportunity. Now, we know you love General Hospital, of course, because you wouldn't be here otherwise. But do you happen to be a fan of Spanish language telenovelas or soaps? You know, shows like Yo Soy Betty, La Fea, La Reina del Sur, or La Candentita.
You better work out that Spanish.
I can't even speak English well. I haven't even mastered this language.
Pure comedy.
You're asking me to speak a second. Now, if so, we want to hear about it. So as we may have a chance for you to share your passion for Spanish telenovelas with the world. To hear more, please reach out to SpanishSoapTV@gmail.com. Again, that is SpanishSoapTV@gmail.com. Don't ask me to do this show because it'll be just like Biblioteca, Zapatos. Churros y chocolate. That is about the extent of my Spanish language. But it sounds like a very cool deal, so if you're interested, please contact them there. But let's talk about the reason that we're all here. And that's
GH, baby.
That's right. That's Star Wars. No.
I know we both wore our Star Wars t-shirts.
That's right. We got it.
You have Chewbacca and I have BB-8. Hey.
So, General Hospital. Let's just dive into the story that's really bugging me, Carolyn. I don't know how you feel about this. The Nell pregnancy storyline.
I'm so over that. I'm over her.
Man.
I'm over her. And she is just working it. Like, she is just like the reign of Nell. The reign of Nell terror is what's happening on GH right now. I need for her to go away and never come back. Did you ever see that movie called To Die For?
Oh, with Nicole Kidman. Yes.
Remember at the end, they like killed her and she went floating under that ice? I need for that to happen to Nell. That's what I need to have happen to Nell. I need for her just to go away and never come back.
Yeah, it's, the thing that drives me crazy about Nell is that she's always the victim. She always paints herself as the victim if everybody else has done her wrong.
But people that are narcissistic and cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs crazy always do that.
Oh, but she doesn't like help in terms of trying to at least engender some sort of connection. By just laying it on way too thick, like at the Metro Court with Sonny, Carly, and Michael. And she, oh, man.
That little scene, I was just like, and Sonny was like, okay, we're good? He was like, okay, we're good, right? So that sounds good to me. Are you good with that payment? And she was like, no, so there's nothing for me. Like, it's just for the baby. And they were like, yeah. And that is conclusive only if the baby turns out to be Michael's. Because at this point, we still have to have another test done when the baby's born. So there's that.
All right. So what are your thoughts? Do you think it is actually Michael's baby? If it was Michael's baby, was it done legitimately through the natural course of human relations? Or was that something that Nell kind of took a sample after something and then kind of got herself inseminated?
You know, knowing her, it could have been either way. Like, it would be more interesting if she did something dastardly, you know what I mean? But her and Michael were kind of kicking it for a minute and kicking it quite a bit. Like, I remember seeing quite a few love scenes between them. So she may have gotten pregnant, or she may be pregnant by somebody else, because we don't know what she was doing before she got to poor Charles.
I don't think she's pregnant by somebody else.
But she might be. You never know.
It's tough to figure out.
Hey, like, Taylor Jones.
Find out, like, what 6 weeks ago, what they were doing, what.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Were they just kind of at the odds and ends of their relationship at that point?
I think so, because he had yet again found out about another lie that she told, you know. And so by the time she came to him talking about, "I'm pregnant," he was like, "Really? Will you just, like, stupid nothing to, like, get what you want?" He was so over it. And I can't say that I blame him. Like, it's only so many times somebody can come to you with shenanigans before you're like, "Do you really think I'm not?" Because then you get to the point where you're like, "This person thinks I'm really stupid. Like, do they not know that I have some ounce of intelligence? I'm not that dumb. So I'm going to need you to stop playing me like I'm, like, the biggest idiot walking the planet Earth." Or in Port Charles, I should say. Yeah, she just... That whole storyline just irritates the hell out of me.
I don't think she's smart enough to know that if it's not Michael's, it's going to get found out. So I feel like at the very least, she's maybe...
That ain't stopped her from doing nothing else. Everything else she did... She knew that eventually she was going to get found out, and that didn't stop her from doing it. That didn't stop her from signing that picture with her own pen.
Yeah, but that never got found
out. That didn't stop her from trying to sleep with Sonny. To drug Sonny and sleep with Sonny. Like, her getting found out doesn't stop her from doing anything. True. Because she's narcissistic enough to think that she can get away with it.
Well, once they do the test in 10 weeks, which is only, I think, like 4 weeks away from now, it's like, it's going to get found out. I don't think she would agree to that unless she knew whether by hook or by crook it was indeed Michael's baby.
I don't know.
Because there's nothing that I think that could happen in 4 weeks to lock anything down, because all of it is contingent on it definitely being Michael's baby.
They're not going to say anything in 4 weeks. They're going to, somebody said, Stephanie said, "Have a classic Quartermain push her down those stairs." Yes, honey. Yes. Have somebody knock her down those stairs and have her lose the baby. Now that I would like to see, because then she would really go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Hey, Jim, I think we have a celebrity in the chat there, JLJ Media. James Lott Jr.?
I'm actually tired of baby storylines. I know that's right.
Look at that. James Lott Jr. taking time to visit our little show to say hello. Clinton Joe says Kim is the mastermind. No, I do not think that Kim is the mastermind.
No.
Look at that. James Lott Jr., look at you.
He's like, "Yes, it's me. What's up, JLJ? How you doing?"
Look at that. Joining us there in the chat. But also, you know what I really wanted? That scene that was for Michael to call Nell's bluff. When Nell says, "Well, if I don't get anything, I'm just going to leave town." I would like Michael said, "Well, then that's great."
He's like, "Bye.
See you later."
He's like, "Bye, Felicia."
Of course he doesn't. He doesn't. He's like, "Oh, well, we got to work out something. Let me handle this my own way, Mom and Dad." I'm like, "Oh."
But this is what I really love. Speaking of Quartermains and all that, they have really been pushing Monica up in the forefront.
Which is nice. She has
been reading people. She just reads people and walks away. I love the fact that she'll just read them and just turn around and bounce. I'm like, "Go ahead, Monica." Just classic reads. Just reading everybody. Just letting everybody. The only person she didn't read this week, is Sam.
Well,
She didn't clock Sam, but she, you know.
Well, that Sam thing's interesting. We'll get that in a second. To follow up with Michael, he does go back to the Quartermains and drops that oh-so-delightful news that the Quartermain clan is about to increase by one.
Mm-hmm.
And you see everybody's like – I feel like every time you introduce like somebody new to the Quartermains, it's always like, "Well, we got to redivide the stock options there."
Yeah.
It's always
all
that.
They
That's
care
first
about
thing
is
first.
The money. Yeah, it's just like, come on. I can't with them and the money. It's like, because at this point, now that the OG Quatermains, Tracy and Edward and all those people are gone, nobody really cares about ELQ or the money. As a fan, I don't really care.
Well, I mean, we've got Ned caring about it. Is that acceptable? I mean, Ned's always been passionately involved with ELQ, except for his little time
away
from
Eddie
Main.
But it's kind of passive-aggressive, which makes me kind of go, I'm going to need you to go in a closet somewhere and not come out for a minute.
Well, I think the frustrating thing is that Ned could be more about it, and we could probably get more storylines if Wally Kurth was exclusive to GH. But since he's splitting his time between that and Days,
yeah,
you know, we get little sprinklings of him, and not enough to really. Because I think Ned has plenty of storyline potential, but we just can't give him one because he's just not fully committed to the show.
And they kind of punking him out a little bit too, like they punking him out just a little bit because every time Monica says something, now all of a sudden Olivia is kind of like joining her side, trying to get into Monica's good graces.
I don't know if it's like her good graces, but I think she's an independent woman with her own thoughts.
She an independent woman, but she wants desperately for Monica to accept her as a Quatermain. So I'm getting the vibe that she will do or say just about anything to overcome that hurdle. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, but that's from a woman that also like tried to buy a pizza stove, tried to put that white Christmas tree up.
Ooh, honey, that Christmas tree. Ooh, I could not with that Christmas tree. I'm like, ooh, that was, ooh. Mm.
Well, the thing that's frustrating with Ned is they keep teasing potential ELQ storylines where he's maybe going to try to unseat Michael. Or now we've got the stock storyline. And they never really go anywhere.
No.
And so I'm like,
that's what I'm saying. Nobody, because nobody's invested in watching stuff about ELQ.
I would be. I'm
not.
Come
Are
on.
You?
I would be, totally.
I'm so not.
Give me some hot ELQ action.
I could care less. I'm actually, if I had to choose between ELQ and Reign of Terror now, I'd pick Reign of Terror now.
What? Oh, Carly, come on.
I'm saying if I had to choose. That's what I'm saying.
Well, but I think like,
somebody said Christmas tree. Kelly, yes. Christmas trees need to be green.
That's old-fashioned thinking, everybody. That's old-fashioned thinking.
Ooh, I didn't mind the tree being white, but it was just like, it was like a rainbow threw up on it. It was just, it was too many things.
I think a ELQ boardroom squabble could be good, but I feel like the only negative that might be is that we've got Ned, we've got Michael, and then you have these ancillary characters because nobody's
that's
really involved
saying.
In ELQ.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, that storyline, it's like they would have to introduce some people to make it interesting because between Ned and Michael, you know, Michael sometimes can be like watching paint dry too, depending on what they have him doing.
Oh, very true.
You know what I'm saying? So there's that.
Because it's Drew, Jason, all the other various grandkids, and none of them are really actively involved in the company. So there's not much other than just Ned and Michael to go head-to-head.
Which, let's segue from that into this. So when when the proposition is given to Kim that Oscar can be a Quatermain, she's like, no thanks. She ain't having it.
Yeah, it was interesting that Monica just went on the attack, invites Kim over. Doesn't really like invite Kim over, just like, hey, guess what? I've canceled your appointment. You're coming over here. And then just lays into her.
Monica, I'm telling you, Monica is savage these days. Monica is letting people have it. I love it. Somebody had to pick up where Tracy left off. I love it.
It's good that
they're
definitely giving her more to do. And I like the fact that she's doubled up her son count again. So, I mean, we've got Drew and we've got Jason. All right.
Michael is so boring ever since he forgave Sonny for killing AJ. Yeah. He's been and then somebody said watching old episodes of Lucy Run a Deception.
Well, I feel like that's a problem with soaps is that you could do something where Sonny kills AJ and Michael kind of disowns Sonny, at least temporarily. Mm-hmm. But then what the show does is they constantly put them in scenes together where it just keeps rehashing the same story beat of like, you killed my father, I don't want to talk to you. You killed my father, I don't want to talk to you. And after a while, you're like, we got to just forgive him already because I'm tired of watching these scenes.
Either forgive him or just like hash it out. Like, cry, beat each other's behind, do whatever you got to do. But just, like, follow through on it so that there's some kind of resolve to it. Because you're right. They keep going, you know, oh, you killed my father, I don't want to talk to you. It happens over and over and over again. So there's never a resolve. So if there was a resolve, then everybody could be like, okay, they resolved that. Let's move on. But that's not happening.
Because, like, in real life, if something happened, I feel like you would, like, if it happened at work, you'd quit that job and move and find something else. Or maybe you might move out of town, depending on where your situations are. But it's like, you know, you just do it to get away with somebody that had done you so completely wrong. Like, why would you wouldn't keep circling their orbit just to be miserable all the time. But of course, when you're dealing with stars, like you're contracted to work on GH, we got to have you do something.
This is true. Can we switch to this storyline though? Last week we were talking about Julian and how he just pops up, right? Why did he pop up again, and why was Alexis again like, do you have a GPS tracking device on me? I was like, Diva, he is not checking for you. He is not running around Port Charles going, oh my God, I wonder where Alexis is. Don't nobody care where you are?
Ah, man, so okay. Julian, finally, the judge has no interest in pursuing the case or the DA, so they're going to let him go. Hooray. So now Julian's free and clear. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't care. And the big sum of that up is, hey, everybody, I bought a bar. So that's the reason he's at the bar. And Alexis is like, hey, you got to get out of here because I'm having a friend coming. And you shouldn't be here. If you like me at all, if you respect me, you'll do the right thing and take off. He's like, mm-hmm. I own this place. Mm-hmm. I can't leave. Well, you could leave, Julian. You don't have to be a tool.
Julian could leave, but he's trying to like hang out and try to get close to Leo. And Olivia's not having that. You know, but she's never really been having that. She wasn't having it when she was pregnant with Leo. She wasn't having it when Leo was born. She doesn't want Julian to have anything to do with Leo because Julian seems to just jack up anybody he puts his little grubby fingers on. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean anybody that he's remotely close to, something really unsavory happens to them or they're mentally messed up or... You know, just something crazy stuff just goes down. So I don't blame her for not wanting to have Julian have anything to do with Leo. But at the same time, that is his dad. Like, you gotta let him see his face. Like, he don't have to spend no quality time with the brother. But, you know.
I was all up for just like, hey, we'll just take him to prison and let him look at him through the through the plate glass and then take off again. Because there was that one small window where they Olivia and Julian got along well with balancing Leo, mm-hmm. and then they started the whole Julian holding a knife to Alexis's throat storyline, and that pretty much just blew everything out of the water.
I'm just him and Alexis. I can't.
I'm tired of it. I am so tired of it.
Like I was having them at first because it was very exciting, but now it's just comical.
It's just comical,
and I'm just going to need for him to, like, I don't want anybody to lose a job. I really don't.
Right.
But paint dry, and that's all I'm going to say. You know, that's my go-to phrase is paint dry. Just paint drying on the wall.
Well, it's just like, man, I feel like they need to at least give Julian a storyline that takes him away from Alexis. Just away. Like, don't let interact with Alexis for a while, and then maybe bring him back together. But
they would have to bring somebody else. They would either have to bring somebody else on the show or throw him with somebody else on the show. And it's like, who is he going to hook up with?
Dr. Kim.
I don't know. I want Dr. Kim to hook up with Drew.
Oh, man. Whatever with this stuff. Oh,
I want Dr. Kim to hook up with Drew.
All right. We'll get to that in a second. So Julian's bought a bar. He
bought the floating rib, which Luke owned a little while ago, right?
No, he bought something wherever she's going to eat with Dr. Bench. That's he bought that place.
That's not the floating rib.
No, it's not the floating rib. It's a different place.
Oh. Yeah, I think it was a floating rib.
It has that kind of dark ambiance to it, but it's a different.
Maybe that's why, because I'm like the floating rib was always a little dark and unsavory. So I was like, okay, well, how did that happen? Okay. Yeah, that was funny because when Lexa said, oh, do you have a GPS tracking device? I mean, he was like, yeah, I own this place. And her face was like, crack, crack, crack.
Yeah. Well, the thing I like, though, is that until somebody buys an establishment, like nobody ever goes there. But once a character on the show owns a place, then for some reason, everybody's showing up there.
Right. But this is the funny thing. What happened to the dude that used to own the other bar, the guy who was the bartender all the time?
Oh, yes.
Like he just disappeared.
With
like
great
what
mustache.
Happened? Like what happened with the handlebar mustache? Like he was there all the time in every scene. They even tried to pair him up with somebody at one point and then he just disappeared. I'm like.
He's in a Knott's Berry Farm commercial that I just saw. I saw him. That's where he is.
I can't with you today. Yes. You are killing me.
He's right there. He's just
did somebody say he went to jail?
Yeah, but he's right there wearing a little cowboy duster and he's hanging out with Snoopy.
He had That's too much plastic surgery and he looked bad. That's what Charlie he did. Homeboy did have a lot of plastic surgery.
I liked him though. I thought he was funny.
Honey,
character.
That face was tight.
Okay. Let's talk about the storyline that I'm sure you're gonna love and that's driving me a little bonkers. And that is the Sam, Jason, Drew storyline.
Now, you know, I have, okay, let me just calm down. Okay. Okay. So, I was a little annoyed at the fact that every episode since they brought Jason back, whenever he and Sam would be in the room together, they would kind of avoid each other. There would always be these glances, but they would never talk to each other. And I remember thinking to myself, they're going to have to do something about that. They can't keep running into each other and not having a conversation. And then that finally happened this week. And then that theme music happened that I loved. And I was like, yay, Jason and Sam. But then this happened. So all of that, they had that little conversation, which I don't... That conversation to me didn't really solve anything, except for the fact that you could tell by the look on Sam's face that she's still hung up on Jason. Like, that conversation did nothing for me. It didn't resolve. This is what I was saying. They never have conversations that resolve anything. They have a conversation, and then somebody gets uncomfortable, and then one person leaves, and then one person's left in the pier or in the room or the restaurant or the hospital or wherever they happen to be, and it never gets resolved. So this time, Sam is on the pier. She's looking all, you know, sad and forlorn, and then she has a conversation with Monica about the fact that she's feeling a little conflicted. She's like, well, I'm not, because in some, I think somewhere in the middle of that, she discovers that she's officially not really married to Drew because she's really married to Jason. So Jason's still married to her. What I want to know is what's going to happen when Jason realizes that he's still married to Sam and that she's not legally married to Drew. That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to do anything? Do you think he's going to be passive aggressive and kind of sit back and go, I want Sam to be happy? Or do you think that's going to be his opportunity to like go in for the kill and try to get her back?
And I got to be sure, like, because when did they ever declare Jason officially dead when he was off?
See, that I don't remember. If somebody in the chat room could help us out with that, I would remember. Sam wanted to jump Jason so bad. Ooh, yes, she did.
Because they had to get married, remarried again. Oh, no, they got divorced. They had to get divorced when Drew came back thinking he was Jason. Mm-hmm. So they got divorced, and then they got remarried. So,
but she's not – what we do know for sure is that she's not legally married to Drew.
For sure.
That we know for sure. So then there was that awkward moment where he asked her to marry him, and then it was like that awkward close-up on her face, like, I don't know. I was like, oh, no.
It's
– Jason won't chase Sam. I need for him to chase Sam.
This was driving me crazy. Well, one,
yeah, no.
I will disagree on this. I cannot stand that song. Every time I
know
song,
you say that every time I bring it up, but I love that. I love when they, because that's Sam and Jason's song.
Like the second they walk in and you hear those like bump bump, I'm like, dang it, stop it with
but
this song.
That's their theme song. I kind of need for that to happen every time they lock eyes. Like, that's the romantic in me that's like, oh, they're playing their song. See, my jaws are hurting from, like, smiling so hard that I'm so happy about this. My face is hurting right now. I'm so excited.
But I'm just trying to play this out. I mean, certainly I can understand why, you know, Sam realizes that he's Drew.
Right.
So, but she still has a lot of love and feelings for him.
Right.
But she all finds out the real Jason is there. We've talked about this before. It's like, I can understand that initial infatuation. Like, oh my gosh, the real Jason's back. Oh my gosh, everything that I was feeling for Drew is also what I was really feeling for Jason. So should I go back with him? Even though I love Drew, but I should go back with Jason. But say she does. They decide to go back. It can't last very long because every issue that Sam had about Jason being affiliated with Sonny would still exist. And this Jason is not one that's going to leave the mob. So she could go back initially, but it's not going to last. It will not last because Jason won't leave Sonny, and then Sam's going to be freaking out about the kids the whole time, and then it's going to end up breaking apart. So you could have your reunion, but I know it won't stick.
The romantic in me wants it to last, you know, just for like, you know, a good 6 months or so, just so I can get my get my Jason and Sam fixed. I just need to get my Jason and Sam fixed, and then they can send him off to do whatever they need for him to do. But I just need for them to hook up. They're going to have to hook up at least one good time, because this is the thing. So when you have dated somebody, or even if you've been married to somebody, and then you marry another person, there's a part of you that's still hung up on the first, if this is your first husband, there's a part of you that's still hung up on that first husband because he's your first. right?
Absolutely.
So there's always going to be that thing, especially if there's kids involved with that union, which in their case, there is a child. So, but then she also has that child with Drew. So it's like she's got two daddies kind of like this on each arm. And it's, at some point, she's going to have to make a decision and choose. I like seeing her and Jason together. I mean, you know, I just do. That's like my dream soap couple. I love them.
But before Steve Burton came back, were you enjoying
the
Billy Miller J-Sam coupling? No. You weren't feeling the heat between the two of them.
It wasn't that I wasn't feeling the heat between the two of them. I feel like they had softened the characters down a bit, and I felt like I just wasn't invested in that storyline anymore. Especially when they had them going legit with the company and everything, it was feeling a little too safe for me. And I'm like, come on, Sam is a renegade. I know she don't like Jason being in the mob, but that's the one thing that attracted her to him in the first place, because he's a renegade just like her. People of a sound of like minds have a tendency to gravitate toward one another. So that's what attracted her to him. She likes Drew because Drew genuinely loves her, and there's not that danger thing. He is the person that she wishes Jason Morgan was, or that's the person she thought Jason Morgan was, the one without the danger and the intrigue and the thing that had her, you know, all flying by the seat of her pants and excited in the first place. But I'm telling you, when you have somebody that's like your real true love, I don't care who comes after that person, you always have a little something hanging back for that real true person, whether you hook up with them or not. There's always that thing that makes you want to just like hold out hope, whether you communicate it to anybody or not. Sometimes you just keep it to yourself. But I'm telling you, it's about to go down.
Well, yeah, but then we're going to see, first shout out to Michael B. because he did name check Coleman. Which is always great.
Coleman, yes. That's right. Thank you.
For that. But it was, but I still feel like now that you got the kids involved, we saw how Sam was. And certainly part of that was the illness that she had in her head, that viral meningitis or whatever she had going on.
And that was some crazy.
But I mean, even those issues were, like, I think like those amplified issues that she already had. While Jason being involved with Sonny, now that they have kids and she doesn't want him to die because she still wants him to not die again. Supposedly, so she could be there with the kids. So I feel like Jason and Sam can get together, but I feel like Sam's going to have those issues. It's going to come up.
But this is the thing. Everybody got to die. Everybody lives. Everybody dies. So whether he dies at the hands of a mob situation or not, he going to die. So is she. So if she is basing her relationship with Jason on the fact that there's too much danger, he might die, he going to die anyway. What's the point?
Well, yeah, so, because that's like a 180 for Sam.
No, Tracy, don't say you can't stand Jason and Sam.
I'm with you, Tracy. I'm with you on that. But because Sam was so adamant about wanting to be out of the mob and having a legitimate lifestyle. So for her to go back to Jason, she's basically just doing a 180 on everything that she wanted. Like, nope, you know, now I'm really cool with you being in the mob. And we're going to raise our kids and we're going to accept that danger in our lives.
Dude, I know we don't see eye to eye on this issue, but I'm telling you, the romantic in me, I love them.
All right.
Love them. I do.
Tommy Sonny wants Sam back as a PI.
Oh, yeah. That was a good storyline. I liked her as a PI, but that would mean we have to bring Spinelli back, and Spinelli ain't coming back.
I feel like Spinelli would come back if they made him an offer.
You think?
I think so.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's so.
So I said Drew, Jason, or Sam could cross the street in Port Charles and get hit by a bus. Why are you trying to kill off all three of them? That ain't right.
Princess Felicia says, "What if they do the Sam, Jason, Drew will be like the Sonny, Brenda, Jax love triangle?" Oh,
that wore me out.
That
Let me tell you why that wore me out. It was one of them things where I loved Sonny and Brenda. I loved Sonny with Brenda. Period. The fact that Brenda wanted to run off with Jax got on my last nerve. I'm like, he's so tired. He's so boring. Why you want to run off with him?
I always liked Jax. You never liked him?
I liked Jax with Carly. I didn't like him with Brenda.
I mean, he had a pinball machine in his office. That's pretty cool. The guy who's got a pinball machine in his office.
I liked Jax.
Big ups for me.
I liked Jax with Carly. I did not like him with Brenda. And I felt like him running after Brenda was just like, why? You know she's not coming for you. You know she's going to go back to Sonny. Why are you even wasting your time?
I felt bad about Jack because he was on the losing end of two triangles. Like, he's got a lot going for him.
I like the actor. Yeah. I like the guy that played him. He was really good. But
And I always liked him and Alexis together. I thought that was a great
relationship. Oh, yeah, that was good. I like him and Alexis together, too. I thought they made a good couple. I liked them a lot.
Yeah, and then just really good friends. I always kind of liked that.
But I think it was busted how they had him go up out of Sonny kind of like got him out of Port Charles. That was messed up.
That was messed up how he did that.
I was like, oh, Sonny, really? You going to go out like that? That was some straight up Michael. That was some Michael Corleone stuff right there. I was like, oh, no. He's invoking the Godfather on that move.
That's right. So speaking of Alexis, though, there was a scene at the end, towards the end of the week, where Alexis does go to talk to Drew at Aurora Publishing, mm-hmm. kind of break it all down. Hey, you're not really legally married to Sam. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out what the deal is with the ownership of this company. Mm-hmm. Set all these things in order. Mm-hmm. And so when Drew, like, I thought Alexis gave him like the most watered down compliment ever. It's like, you're good to my daughter, and that's good for me. And it's like, well, you don't say that he's a good guy. No, it's like, no, you're good to my. I mean, I really don't like you, but you're good to my daughter. So, as long as that's okay, I'm like, all right.
They messing with Alexis on that show. I don't know what they doing to her. Like, she used to be like barracuda, harsh. Like, she used to go in, and now they just have her walking around thinking that Julian is chasing her all over Port Charles. Yeah, she didn't give him a compliment. It was very watered down, and it was a very safe thing to say. Like, I would have had more respect if she had, you know, just went in on him and then kind of segued into where she ended up. Because I'm just like, really, Alexis?
I'm testing you. I'm testing you.
I can't. She's testing everybody. And I feel like if she's not happy, she don't want anybody else to be happy either. That's what I feel from her. Like, if she's not happy and everything is not sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops for her, then she didn't want anybody else to be happy either. She tries to pretend like she wants Sam to be happy, but she really don't want Sam to be happy. She don't want Sam to be happier than her.
You don't think so?
No.
Come on. I think doesn't every mother want their daughter or children to be happier than
most them? Mothers, but not Alexis.
Well,
I promise you.
I feel like she wants them to be happier as long as it's in a way that is makes Alexis happy.
That's what I'm saying.
Like Christina and our professor.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, you know, she's not happy about
that. She's very judgmental. If their happiness is not in line with the way she thinks they should be happy, then she don't want them to be happy. That's what I'm saying.
And that's when you move to Portland. And you have to just deal with that. There you go. The most quiet exit from the show. You just move to Portland, never to be seen again. Like,
somebody said, how do we know Jason would be a good dad? He's been gone, both boys a little bit. Let me tell you something. Did we forget that when Carly got pregnant with Michael,
he took care
how
of Michael.
Fiercely Jason was there for Michael? So, yeah, Jason would be a good dad. He really, really watched out for Michael fiercely.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Like that was
his
own kid. So I don't think him being a good dad is going to be an issue.
Now on the Twitter feed this past week, a lot, man.
They went in. Ooh.
My feed is
JLJ,
just
Lord. I was like, I couldn't read all the comments. I'm like, what is happening? So, I tried.
Yeah, our good old pal James Lott Jr., founder of the show and an awesome man, but posed a question about the Jason Liz pairing. And
yes,
man, people
on a daily basis.
A lot of every time I come back, there would be a bunch of notifications that I'd scroll through, and it's like it was just
liaison.
Holy cow! Yes, going into all of that.
You know what I want to say when I ask about that? Why do you think us GH fans have been so invested in the character of Liz for 20 years? Because she's been on that soap for 20 years. Why are we so invested in her? Why are we so invested in her happiness? What happens to her kids? What happens to her? We are like full on invested in that. And people either on this side or they're this side, this either black or white with her. There's no gray area when it comes to how people feel about Liz. But I'm just wanting to know how you feel about her.
I like Liz. There have been times that, you know, just kind of like that the mega interest has kind of ebbed and flowed, and that was just the nature of the storylines. But, like, ever since when they brought back Drew, I mean, Billy Miller as Jason. I felt like as Jake Doe. I felt like that's when I was like, all right, it was kind of just cool to see Liz kind of like be a little greedy and selfish for a little bit, have that kind of, you know, a little bit of those character traits come back.
She's always greedy and selfish, though.
Not always.
Come on. When Lucky had the drug addiction and all that stuff, she was greedy and selfish then. She was. When Jason, when it was looking like Jason wasn't going to go back to Sam for a second, when her and Jason had a thing going on, and then she realized that he was going to choose Sam over her, she was greedy and selfish then. Like, she's had moments.
Well, of course, yeah. She's been,
I'm just saying.
She's been burned. You want to see, well, for you, would you rather see, you're a Jason fan. You love the music.
I am. I'm a Jason fan.
You don't care about the liaison fans. You don't care.
And I agree with our academics, honey. Yes, Liz belongs to Lucky, period. I need for Jonathan Jackson to come up and come back and mess all of that up.
Well, it's true. Like, when you have somebody say, like, you know, I have a permanent lock on me, then it's like, well, then that's it. That's it. There's nobody else. Forget it. It's just Lucky.
And I really kind of need for Luke to just pop his head in. I know he's not, but I need him to just pop his head in just for one episode and just jack stuff up and leave. I need him to just pop in and just wreak havoc and then be like, I'm out. I'm going back to Amsterdam. I need for that to happen just one good time.
All right.
That would give me life.
The thing that's irritating me about Franco is I feel like they just, like, his reluctance to come forward with this truth is so irritating. And finally, we're going to seem like he's going to finally reveal it to Liz, which I'm happy for. I'm glad it's not something that she has to find out after the fact or somebody else tells her. Like, at first, I thought it was going to be Andre who was going to mention something to her and get her to start spinning her wheels about something like that. But at least it's Franco manning up way after the fact, but at least he's coming clean with her.
Yeah. You had mentioned Andre and the wife before, so
oh.
I think I must have missed that. I think I went to grab something to eat or something during that part. I missed that, so please enlighten us, sister.
Well, it is Anna goes to visit Andre in jail,
mm-hmm.
and wants to know, like, hey, please, it's me and you. Just tell me what's going on here. And Andre reveals, like, hey, you know what? This whole time you've known me, the whole time I've ever been on the show, the whole time I've been happy or been in relationships, I never once mentioned that I was married. And then my wife had early onset Alzheimer's. And the whole reason I was doing this memory mapping thing was that because I wanted to try to help her. And now I've basically, we dissolved our marriage so that her family could take care of her. And now I think about her from a distance, but I'm never involved with her on a regular basis. And so Jordan overhears all this from the speaker and then comes in after Anna leaves and is like, we were together this whole time. You never once told me about this wife, and I just
okay. That explains, because when I did come back to the TV, I saw her walking out of the interrogation room crying. I'm like, why is Jordan crying?
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell happened that she's crying? I don't understand.
And I just wanted Andre to say in the moment, it's like, because the writers didn't think of that idea until just now, so that's why I never said I had a wife, because I felt like that came out of
that's a stretch. So
left field.
That's a stretch. Don't you think that's a stretch?
It's a stretch. And, like, I feel like if you were in a relationship with somebody that you wouldn't mention that you'd been married once before, I mean, and it's one thing, like, hey, we've been on a couple dates, but you've been on a long-term relationship.
Well, there's some people that I know that have done that in real life. It does happen. It ain't that far-fetched. It does happen.
And I can understand if it's, like, a marriage that you're not proud of or anything like mm-hmm. that. But, I mean, she had early-onset Alzheimer's, and now she's in care of her family. But I feel like that's not, like, I was married to somebody and she was...
But early onset is very different than having full blown. Because if she had... Because this is the thing. If he said early onset Alzheimer's, that means that dog could still come out of the woodwork and mess some stuff up. Because early onset doesn't mean she's got full blown Alzheimer's.
Well, with Andre pretty much, I think, off the show, that is a dog we don't have to worry about coming back to bite us on the butt. Because they marched him right out in cuffs, and I think that was Andre's farewell in poor Charles.
I can't with you today.
Because it's just like, yep, which is a shame. I don't think he's, you know, they Paul Hornsby'd Andre right there. See you later. We just see you walk off one day, and then that's
somebody
it.
Somebody said Andre felt like he rejected / dumped his wife. He felt guilty. Ain't nobody caring about him feeling guilty. Like... Fine, you felt guilty, but you still did what you did. You ain't feeling that guilty. I'm just saying.
The other thing, too, is like when they all had him in the police room and Diane's interrogating him, trying to figure out the deal. And he was kind of adamant, like, before I say anything, I just want everybody to know that I was trying to do this to help people. And nobody cared about it.
He kept saying, he's always saying it, and everybody just looks at him like he got 10 heads every time he says it.
Why would you go with such a kind of like scientific kind of like reasoning for this or rationale? That's when you share your story. Like, I was married to a woman that was, you know, losing her mind, and I was trying desperately to help her. That's when you share that story to at least make these people that you've kind of impacted all their lives at least try to understand a little bit of your point of view. Doesn't say it at all then.
Like, I think they were trying to have him go out with some dignity, and they just kind of threw him under the bus. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, Stuart Pierce said, yes, early onset dementia can go by really fast. Well, speaking as somebody who is living with someone with early onset Alzheimer's, it depends on the person and it depends on their chemical makeup. So I'm living with someone who has that, and that situation is moving a little slower. So that's why I said what I said. So okay. There's that.
I feel like because Andre does leave Jason with the idea, like, if, of course, like, does Drew's original map his baseline still exist. And he says any information that he has in an ornament that Anna has that she doesn't even realize that she has.
Oh, right. And then you see, and then they cut the camera to her walking out of the door with the box of ornaments. I'm like she not going to drop one of them. Like, you ain't going to hear a little jingle jingle in it when you going to put it up somewhere. Thanks for bringing that up. I was like, that's dumb.
So I feel like once they do get that information.
Wait. Charlie in Charge said they fired Andre to pay for Jason's salary.
Oh.
That's cold-blooded, Charlie in Charge.
Yeah, it's. I know that was a speculation that many people thought. Like, hey, we're getting Steve Burton back. You got to be able to afford to pay him. So he started cutting off some other actors. But I think
ABC got money.
Yeah, I think that was kind of debunked, saying that. No, that was not.
ABC has money. Their parent company is Disney, so they got money. And Disney just bought Fox. They are not hurting for no change to pay anybody.
Yeah.
So there's that.
But I feel like once they do find that stuff in that ornament, then I think you can see Andre. Because somebody's got to be able to do the procedure again. And I don't think it's like with Ava and her plastic surgery that you can just give that information to another doctor and they'd follow the protocol.
And that's I'm about tired of her walking around with that scratched up face. Can we just fix her face?
You know, want her to have it for a while?
No. I'm like, can we just – because this is the thing. If they can fix the other stuff, then why can't they just fix that one little patch? It's just a one little patch right there. Like, why is she still walking around with this patchy face? I'm going to need them to work that out.
half the time I even forget it because it's just like – it's like in pretty much the most innocuous place
on the
face.
She looks like she put some Nair on her face and left it there too long. That's what it looks like. And I'm going to need them to fix that. That's what I'm going to need them to do. I'm going to need them to fix that patchy Nair-looking face on her. That's what I'm going to need them to do.
So, okay, Carly, you're involved with somebody that has that kind of that patch right there. And they tell you, like, hey, you know what? I got most of my face restored. I couldn't get this part. Would you be like, this relationship can go no further until you get that?
Of course not. Of course not.
That chin of yours
fixed. Of course not. But, you know. Oh, you know, okay, let me put it this way. If I'd met her and she already had that, I would naturally assume that it was a birthmark, right? Yeah. I would assume it was a birthmark unless she told me otherwise. And then when she told me otherwise, I'd be like, well, how come you can't get that fixed? Like, what's stopping you from going to Russia to get that fixed? Like, I don't understand. If it's a birthmark, cool, girl. Power to the people. But, like, I'm going to need you to get that fixed.
Yeah. Why'd you stop there?
Somebody said, Ava... Griffin is a punk too. Yeah, that's is.
Right. So you basically tell Ava, like, you punked that on that face. You punked
I
that.
I might tell. They need to bring me on GH, honey. I'll just go right down the line and read everybody. Just tell everybody what for and why. Just everybody. Just
punk it.
Be like,
punk
look, it. Monica. Look, Carly. Look, Sunny.
All right. So as we're getting ready to wrap up, real quick, I'm going to ask you a prediction. Which relationship's going to fall apart first? We've got the Liz and Franco. We've got Drew and Sam.
I think Liz and Franco is going to fall apart quicker than Drew and Sam. They're going to draw Drew and Sam out for as long as they possibly can. That's not anything that's going away anytime soon.
Great.
Don't you think?
I don't want to see it drawn out. Oh, my gosh.
But you know that's how they do. Especially when they have people like me debating Sam and Jason and Drew, they're going to draw that stuff out as long as they possibly can because they know that people are invested in watching how it plays out. I could care less about Franco and Liz.
But I feel like you need to get that fine point where you can draw it out to create tension and suspense with the audience. But if you keep let it run too long, then people are like, just figure it out already. And I sometimes GH goes too far, and they get like, please, can we just move on already?
I agree. But that ain't stopping us from watching it.
That's true. Words to live by as we wrap this up. Our last show of 2017, everybody.
I know, right?
Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode and this year on the GH Report. But as always, folks, give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat there. You made it so much more fun to do the show when we get to see your comments running by. And a special belated shout-out to James Lott Jr. hopping in the chat.
Yes, thank you, JLJ.
Of course, this all wouldn't be possible. Carla and I would not be sitting here if James Lott Jr., a man with a dream about talking about GH on a regular basis, didn't make this show happen.
That's so, absolutely right. So
it's got to give props to the Godfather.
Absolutely right.
But if you want to continue the conversation with us, even after we're off the air, and for those like these nice 2 weeks that we're going to be dark during the holiday season, Carla, where can they find you?
Y'all can find me, as you know, across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. Shout me out. I'll shout you out back. As everybody always says, me and Kelly be talking on Twitter tough.
There you go. There you go. She will call you a punk.
No, I won't. Why? Oh, Lord. You trying to have people come for me on social media like that? That's messed up. I will drop kick you when that camera turns off. Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
I'm going to start easing my way over this way. ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us this whole year. We'll be back the first Sunday in January.
2018, baby.
Yeah, January 7th, I believe, is that?
Yes,
January 7th. We'll be back right here in the studio with another hot new edition of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV. Happy holidays, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.